You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. Restoration family, what's up? So good to be with you as always. Welcome to our home churches who are watching and listening together. Thank you for continuing to press into community throughout the week. Welcome to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live as well. We're glad you're with us. However or whenever you're joining us, we're doing this together as one big family following Jesus together. So today we're continuing our restore journey as we walk through the scriptures together and we learn how to see our stories in light of God's bigger story. And where we find ourselves today, this passage is hands down one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, Isaiah chapter 6. And listen, there's a lot of ground to cover, and I want to do my best to do it justice. So we're just going to jump right in today. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Now, real quick, we're going to stop because that may seem like a throwaway detail about some random king, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we learn about this King Uzziah. We learn that he was, for the most part, an incredible king. There was peace and prosperity for decades upon decades upon decades, but his reign did not end well. Here's what it says in verse 16 of that chapter. It says, "But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar." Now, to you, that may not seem like a big deal, but this was God's holy place. This was a place that only priests were allowed to enter. This was a duty. This sacred act of burning incense was a duty that only priests were allowed to do. But King Uzziah and all of his pride just barges right into God's presence. And the priests try to stop him. But in his arrogance, he turns around. He lashes out in anger. And the Bible tells us that at this moment, his body begins to be covered with leprosy. And he didn't live that much longer after that. So imagine just the national scandal of that moment. That is the backdrop of where we begin in Isaiah chapter 6, when it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." It is impossible to fully convey the beauty and the majesty of this moment that we're reading about as Isaiah's eyes are opened to God's holy presence filling the temple, and then being surrounded by these strange angelic beings who are singing to one another, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, in the Hebrew language, if you wanted to present a word at its utmost value, you didn't just say it once, you said it 3 times. And so God is not just marginally holy. These seraphim are crying out for eternity that God is holy, holy, holy. Now, I know that's a churchy word, but understanding what holy means is so important for us. I love how Eugene Peterson describes it. He says, "Holy is a word that sets something apart. That which is holy is not derived from something we are or have. It cannot be related to something we know. It is other than. It comes from outside. God is not a projection of our imagination, not wish fulfillment, not a childish fantasy. God is holy." My friends, this is a revelation that you and I desperately need, that when we see God, we see that God does not belong to us. We see that God is not a religious accessory to our everyday whims. We see that God is not one item on a spiritual buffet that we add to the rest of our life. No, we see that this is a God that we cannot wield. This is a God that we cannot control. This God is not like us. This God is holy. And to see him in his holiness is to see beauty, but yet be humbled by the same holiness. And that's exactly what we see next in the words of Isaiah. Here's what it says. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Now, the astounding and yet honestly sometimes startling reality of seeing God is that when we see God, we come to see ourselves clearly, sometimes for the first time. And this is what we see with Isaiah as he sees God high and exalted in all of his glory and holiness in the temple. At the same time, he comes to see who he really is. He sees the depth of his own brokenness and sin and the sin of his people. And my friends, this is an important part of our spiritual journey. As we come to see God for who he really is, we come to see ourselves as we really are. And as we come to see ourselves as we really are, we'll see our own brokenness, our own sin, our need before God. This is a part of my story. I became a Christian at the age of 11 years old, walked down the aisle of a little Baptist church, and surrendered my life to Christ. But it wasn't for another 5 years at this night of worship, as we were singing about the cross of Christ and God's love for us, that something began stirring in me. This kid who'd been in church his entire life, suddenly the gospel wasn't just an idea I agreed with. The gospel was a person who came for me. The gospel was a person who lived for me, who died for me, who was raised for me. As we sang about the cross, I began to see the depth of my sin, but not just the depth of my sin, the deeper still depth of God's love for me that came and redeemed me from death. As I looked at the cross, I began weeping because I saw God. And as I saw God, I saw me. You know, I think that's what keeps most of us running from God, or at best keeping him at arm's length, is that we instinctively know if we see this God that Isaiah sees, we're going to see ourselves. And when we see ourselves, we're not going to like what we see. And if that's the end of the story, then that's bad news, but that's not the end of our story. Here's how it continues in Isaiah 6. It says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Now don't miss this, my friends. At the moment when Isaiah is most aware of his sin, it is God who moves toward him, not in anger or guilt or shame, moves toward him in love and declares, "Your sin is atoned for." Now, this idea of atonement is so important throughout the scriptures. Atone literally means at one with God. In the Old Testament law, to atone for your sin, there needed to be a sacrifice of a spotless animal, this blood sacrifice for the remission of sin. And if you remember earlier in our story, the seraphim picks up this live coal, this hot coal from the altar of sacrifice to touch the lips of Isaiah. There had been a sacrifice on the altar, but it wasn't a sacrifice that Isaiah made because God had atoned for his sin. There's a word for this. There's a word for receiving something of such immense value that you neither earned nor deserved. That word, it's grace. And what Isaiah now sees, and what I pray that you and I see today, is that the clearest and most powerful picture of the holiness of God is not his anger, but is his grace towards Isaiah. It's his grace towards you and me. In other words, what truly makes God holy is his grace towards the unholy. What truly makes God powerful is his compassion and mercy for the powerless. My friends, that's the gospel. This is the gospel. I need you to hear this. When we encounter the living God of the scriptures, two things happen. We see ourselves as we truly are, in our brokenness, in our sin, and in our need, and we simultaneously experience the transforming power of the grace of God who meets us where we are with love to take away our sin and our shame. Remember, the coal touched his lips and cleansed him from the sin that came from the altar. An atoning sacrifice for his sin had been made, but Isaiah was not the one who made the sacrifice because it was God himself who atoned for the sin of Isaiah. And that's because 800 years later, another prophet would ride into the city of Jerusalem, one for whom John the Baptist would say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was the fullness of God's holiness in flesh. Instead of the dead and the sick and the foreigner making him unclean, when he touched them, he made them clean. They became clean by the touch of Jesus because he was the holiness of God. When he was crucified, when he took his last breath, the Bible says the veil of the temple, the curtain that separated the very place where Isaiah had this encounter with God, was torn in two. 800 years before, one man saw God in the temple, and now that the veil was torn by the sacrifice of Christ for you and me, we all get to see the clearest picture of who God is. It is Jesus, our sacrifice on the cross, so that we could enter the presence of God. It's why we see in 1 John 4, it says, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as what? As an atoning sacrifice for our sin." When God made a way for Isaiah, he has made a way for us too. Here's the astounding part. You and I, we have access to the presence of God in a way that Isaiah could only dream of. Not only are we the temple of God's presence now, but as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, we have full and final access to his presence right here and right now. That's why the writer of Hebrews tells us that let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The good news today is that grace is here. It's here for you. It's here for me. It's here now. So let's close then with the final verse we're looking at, verse 8, which is so, so important to bring us to the climax of the story. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" My friends, Isaiah's calling to go as the prophet, the voice of God to the people of Israel, it flowed out of the encounter that he just had with him. There is no "here am I, send me" if Isaiah doesn't have an encounter with God. The truth of what we see in the story of Isaiah is a truth I think we all need to see in this moment, and that is what God does through you, he first does in you. Can I be real? This has been one of the hardest things for me in this time of isolation and pandemic stuff. Man, I'm a doer. I want to be the "here am I, send me." I want to get out and I want to go. But what God is reminding me in this season where we are stuck where we are is that there is work he's doing in you and work he's doing in me that is preparing us for what he's going to send us to in the future. So do not neglect the work that God is doing. Seek out encounters with him this week. I hope you go to restorationlex.com/this week and get questions and talk through this passage with your home church. You can also give there. You can find kids resources, prayer requests, everything you need as you meet together with your home churches and beyond this week. You're going to find more about it on the Deeper Look podcast as well. Again, restorationlex.com/this week. Man, what a scripture, what a story we get to be a part of. I pray you dig deeper in it this week together as a family. I love you guys. We will see you back in this space again next week.